bring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and shall make his footsteps our pathway. But specifically tonight, I want you to hold on to verse number 6, where in that text we are told, in the text, revive us again. The psalmist here makes a plea. He makes a plea that God will grant that them revival, renewing, restoring. Now we'll say more about that in a moment. Maybe the battery's dead, brother, but there we go. You know, when I was a kid, and we had those chip flip charts. Remember those things? There was no problems with those things. You just flipped the chart. And if you couldn't speak loud enough, you were in trouble. My grandfather, who preached for 60 years, would yell at me if he couldn't hear me in the foyer. So I learned how to speak loud. And somebody said recently, you definitely don't need a mic. It's never gone away. Maybe someday when I'm older it will. But I'm blessed and I appreciate that comment. I don't know if that was a good comment or a bad comment, but I appreciate it nonetheless. But what we need to see tonight is, to even today, we know there are times in our lives when we just need to be revived. We need to be built up. We need to be encouraged. But some people have said through the years, well, Brother Staggs, don't you know? Don't you understand that this concept is a denominational concept? No, it's not. It's a Bible fact. It's a Bible concept. The Bible over and over speaks about this concept of reviving, revive, restore. All of these things are going together, what we're talking about, in what we're talking about tonight. Look back at the book of Ezra for a moment. Go to chapter 9. Look at verse 8. Now, again, I'm reading from the King James Version this evening, or the New King James, rather. But if you have another translation, it might read a little differently. But in that text, it says, but now, for a brief moment, favor has been shown by the Lord our God to leave us a remnant and to give us a secure hold within his holy place, that our God may brighten our eyes and grant us a little reviving in our salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand again, this isn't a denominational concept, this is a Bible concept. But let's just take a moment to talk about the word itself. So I didn't put up the word in the Hebrew here, I didn't try to make it that fancy, even though I think Hebrew is much more beautiful than Greek. Greek was harder for me for some reason when I was in college 1,000 years ago. But in this, let's just think about the meaning. When we're talking about reviving or revival, it has a meaning. Well, it means to live, to have life. It means to remain alive. It means to sustain life. The word has with it this concept of living prosperously. That doesn't mean riches. It means spiritually prospering. It means to live forever in heaven. When we think about the word, it means to be quickened, to be made alive, to be restored to life and health. I think for us, since we are New Testament Christians, and we understand the restoration movement, maybe it's easier for us to understand the concept of restoration. Well, a restoration would be a restoration to new life, to new consciousness, to new vigor, to new strength in what we do in the kingdom and in the service of God and others. So I think we understand that maybe a little easier, but it's still an effective service that we want to be thinking about and talking about. Someone wrote these words years ago, and I've liked them forever. I want to read them to you. It says, if all the sleeping folks, he's talking about members of the church. Let me say this. Let me stop right here. Sunday nights are special. Normally, this sermon isn't for somebody who comes back on Sunday night, just so you know. But we understand we still need this too. I do. You guys are normally the folks who do most of the work among the church, here at the church. Sunday night folks are just a special group of people, because it seems that our numbers everywhere are falling off on Sunday nights. I hope that changes someday, and I'm praying for that and hope you do too. But here it says, if the sleeping folks will wake up, and the lukewarm folks will fire up, and all the dishonest folks who keep telling themselves they're okay will confess up, and the disgruntled folks will stop being disgruntled and sweeten up, and all the discouraged folks, we can just try to cheer up, and all the depressed folks, we can just encourage them to keep looking up, and all of the estranged brothers and sisters in Christ can make up, and all of the gossipers will shut up, and all of the dry bones will shake up, and all of the true soldiers of Christ will rise up, and we will have a true reviving among God's people in His church today. And I think that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we need that here in this place and in every place I've ever been blessed to be, to be a part of, ever been blessed to preach at, with, or work for. We didn't sing this song tonight, and that's okay, because I like the one our brother led for us even better. But how many times have we sung Revive Us Again? You like that song? It's one of my favorite. Everybody knows it. And when we sing it heartily normally. There's nothing in the world wrong with us singing that song, is there? Because we are talking about reviving ourselves, being renewed, being restored, being everything that God had intended for us to be. There are times in every church family where we will need to do this. And I hope tonight, as we think about this church and what we're hoping to do in the work of the Lord right here, that we will look to God and ask Him to revive each and every one of us who needs it. And I know I need it. Let me just start here by saying, if you have your Bible, go ahead and be turning to Romans 10. About 15 years ago, I did a lecture with a group of guys. It was entitled Renew, Revive, Restore. I had three sermons that week to preach, and one at night. The one at night, I was asked to talk about apathy. So I want to read something. I never read my own stuff. I don't like to hear myself preach, so my wife listens to my sermons. I don't. I don't like it. But I especially don't, after I write something, like to read it again. But I'm going to read this to you, because she said I should. So Mama is right normally. I said here in that lecture, second, I'd like to discuss something with us. God's people need to be a praying people, praying for reviving. But the problem we find from time to time is that we are apathetic. Apathy has defined itself as a lack of interest or enthusiasm or concern. It's synonymous with things like indifference, unconcerned lethargy. All of these people who are apathetic, who are people who are finding themselves in apathy, are normally the ones who don't study the Bible for themselves. They let some eldership or some preacher, they let some person tell them what the Bible says, rather than studying it for themselves. You know, 2 Peter 1 and verse 2 through 4 says, we know we need to not be led in error, but God has given us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. When we think about our subject tonight, here as Paul starts in the text for us, as we're going to read now, over here in the book of Romans, in that 10th chapter, let's look at verse number 1 there. It says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. What does he say his prayer is? That they may be saved. Let's go to James for a moment. Over in James 4, I hope you will forgive me. We're going to do some turning tonight, okay? James, the fourth chapter. Come down and find verse number 2. We're going to read the whole verse, but our interest will be in the last part of the verse. It says, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." Let's go a little further. Come over to the book of Luke now, the 18th chapter. And as you're turning there, we're going to look at verse number 1. Luke 18, verse number 1. There. Here in this text it says, "Then he spake a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to what?" My text says, lose heart. But notice the connection here, the prayer. We're going to stay on that subject for just a moment. Now let's go to James 5 now. James 5, and we're going to look at verse 14, and then we'll also look at verse 16 together. Here in this text, notice where it says, "Is any," James 5:14, "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him." Again, we're seeing this concept of prayer. Go to verse 16 where it says, "Confess your fault, trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So one's physical sickness, the other, I believe in this verse, is talking about spiritual sickness. Here's the point. The point is, when we think about what we're going to do, what we need to do to have a reviving in my life, I have to hit my knees. I need to follow what God's word says, number one. I need to be praying, number two. We need to do that. There's a church in our area, and I bet if I say it, some of you will remember or know what I'm talking about. They had somebody encourage them to pray about being renewed, being restored, reviving. So every Sunday, one of the brothers got up and led a prayer. One would say, "Lord, please revive this church that we are more like Jesus and going to the lost." The next Sunday, somebody got up and they prayed, "Lord, please help us call on you in times of distress and thank you for all the good that's taking place. Revive us to have the right attitude of heart." You know what the heart is in the Bible? It's not a blood-pumping organ, is it? It's our conscience, our mind, our makeup, our will. It's the entire being. That's what he was praying for, that we were wholehearted, true-hearted, wanting to truly serve the Lord to the best of their ability. So we pray one for another. Do you know somebody who's discouraged? Do you know somebody who hasn't been here and maybe participating in services like they used to? Pray for them. And brothers and sisters in Christ, there's nothing in the world wrong with that. We need to be praying for one another. Let me also point something out. I kind of put this kind of close. I hope you can read it. Righteousness and peace. Today, we need to understand that as we obey God's standard of righteousness, this book, the Bible, that we come to know what true peace is. Again, in your Bible tonight, let's go over to the book of Philippians for a second. As you turn over there, let's come to chapter 4 there, and we're going to do some reading. Now, I understand this is a passage that's familiar territory. It's familiar to all of us. Let's go back a little bit. I want you to notice. Let's go back to verse 1 and we'll start there. "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." He goes on to say, "I implore Eudota And I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Did we read anything else that you know of in the New Testament about those two having problems? I don't know of any more. Evidently, something was going on, even at Philippi, like it has in other churches. You know what? John and I did not talk about our sermons today. John is a tad bit older than me. I'm not going to say how much. I do know. But John brought out a point this morning in our class. This church has never known division over fighting. Do you know how rare that is? I started preaching full-time 24. Graduated from college, I was going to save the world on my own. I'm a big guy, you know, I got a master's degree, man. means nothing. I found that out in about 10 minutes in the pulpit. Nothing, means nothing. But what John has seen and what I've seen is that churches have problems. Now, I was dumb enough, and I talked to John about this today, John, I was dumb enough because my granddad worked for a lot of troubled churches, and he said, someday I hope you do. And I was dumb enough when I was 24 to say, Lord, if you need me to go to troubled churches, I'll go. Guess where he sent me until now? Troubled churches. Every last one of them. So that's a good thing and bad thing because I've seen a lot of stuff. It's bad because there's so many churches who are troubled and divided. Even in this encouraging passage of Scripture, In verse 3 it says, and I urge you also, true companions, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And then he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And then he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. If you want to know peace, if you want to know true peace and happiness, it comes through Christ Jesus. It comes through God. We read about it in the book. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's our attitude. And it must always be. But as we think about reviving in people's lives, who needs reviving? And not to drag this out, but let me just say, the church needs a reviving. Now, every passage I have there, if you're going to take notes tonight, is about a troubled church. This one may not need it, but we're going to look at a few of them. In your Bibles, in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate of the same spiritual food and drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ, chapter 10 here. But the most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, if there was ever a church in the history of the Bible that had more problems than Corinth, I don't know who it would be. They had somebody who had their father's wife. They had division. They had problems with marriage. They had problems with the Lord's Supper. They had problems with giving. And on and on and on. In your Bibles, James 3 now. Verse number 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. brothers and sisters in Christ, go ahead and turn to Ephesians 4 now. And in this text, we're going to start there. We're not going to read all of this because this is familiar territory to us. I do want us to center on verse 5 here in a moment, where it says, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Ladies and gentlemen, we understand as the body of Christ, we're responsible to God. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that there are people who can lead singing that I can't do. Aren't you? I'm thankful there is somebody here in this room you can go talk to tonight about the gospel that I would never have the chance to, because they don't want to talk to a preacher. And like John said this morning, you can always invite him or myself. We would be glad to go. But the church needs reviving. We need to do that when it comes to personal evangelism. We need to do it when it comes to our zeal. Not only, if you're taking notes, let me give you three things. One, in the work of the church. Two, in our worship. And we need reviving when it comes to how we are treating the world around us. Even though we may be treating them well and we love them, we always are people who at times it becomes so discouraging we want to quit. I want to tell you, I've known a few elders to walk away. How about you? Know any elders to leave the church? I've known a few preachers who stopped preaching because of all the trouble they were putting up with. Now, should they have been stronger? And what somebody says, my wife, granddad would say, Bill, if they were what they used to be and should have been in the first place. Well, he's probably right about that. But then his wife, grandmother, would stand up and she would say, yo, Willard, the problem is they're not what they were once or what they should be. That's why we need to go grab them and bring them back. I always loved that. And every time he said that, she would say that. Who needs reviving? The church needs reviving. Who needs reviving? Christians need reviving. I need to be more zealous for the work of and for the cause of Christ. I need to be more zealous when it comes to seeking the lost. And I need to be more zealous when it comes to taking the gospel not only to my neighbors, but to my family. Notice this right here. One of my favorite passages. Again. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Brethren, revival is not a subject that is an error. It is not a subject that is non-biblical. It is not a subject that is denominational. It is God's divine word. Come back with me, if you will, to the book of Isaiah. We're going to go over to chapter 35. As we conclude this evening. Now this is a passage you've heard before and you know well. Chapter 35, beginning there in verse 5, when it says, the eyes of the Lord shall be opened, and his ears, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of the jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Verse 8. A highway shall be there, a road, and it shall be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. I love that passage. I love that passage because I know as we look to God's word and we're following him, he's given us this highway to walk on. He's given us a path to follow. We understand that we should go on that narrow way. We talk about it. We sing about it. Tonight, I don't know where you are. I prayed fervently today for myself and for you. I don't know where you are when it comes to being encouraged, discouraged. But this is one thing I'm hearing from everybody. I'm going to tell you, I praise God for this. Everyone in this church keeps telling me the same thing. We're ready. We're ready. We're ready and we're willing and we're working. I want to tell you, that doesn't happen. I'm the most blessed preacher on the planet because I've got brethren like you who are ready, willing, able to go into all the world. Got this brother over here. I'm going to build you up just a little bit. I asked him today, hey, would you help me with social media? You think he even hesitated a second? So I'm looking forward to working with you on that. Tonight, as we go our separate ways, let's think about how we can revive, encourage, and build up someone else right here in this local church family. When you find something to do, whether it's a note, whether it's a visit, or whether it's a call on the telephone, do it. You're here tonight and you've never yet been obedient to the gospel of Christ, and I kind of feel like everybody has. But you could be here tonight, and you know that you just need the prayers of your brethren. You know that maybe you've gone the wrong way, said the wrong things, done the wrong things, and God is ready, willing, and he is able to forgive you for your sins, just like he's ready, able, and willing to forgive me for my sins. Maybe you just need the prayers of your brethren tonight for a little encouragement. Maybe there's someone in your family that you need to talk to somebody. Maybe one of our elders, Rick, is here. Talk to Rick about getting prayers for that person. How we want to see them come to be a part of this church family or at least a church family somewhere because we want them to be saved. And if we can encourage you tonight in any way, won't you come while together we stand and sing this invitation song?